Lord, Christmas isn't joy for everyone. Sometimes it's trying to figure out how to do Christmas without mom or with a broken family. Sometimes it's trying to figure out how to celebrate Christmas as we struggle with a diagnosis or as we grieve the loss of those we love. Sometimes we worry how we're going to pay for Christmas or if we're going to have a job after it. Christmas isn't always joyful, but the message of Christmas is one of hope and promise and newness in Christ. And Lord, we ask you to give us the faith to trust you, when things seem impossible and improbable. Lord, give us faith to live in the light of your love and in the hope of your promise. For all of those who need your touch today, hear their names and touch their hearts, Lord. Hear the names of those we love. We pray for WL. We pray for Twyla. We pray for Miss Selva. We pray for those who are hungry, for those who are cold. And we pray for ourselves and our plenty, that we may have hearts that care for those in need as you do. May we live this season, Lord, in a way that brings joy and honor and glory to you. May we rightly represent you as we celebrate the greatest gift the world has ever seen. This and all of our prayers we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Ever and ever, amen. I stopped to see if I could hear you. It's hard, far away. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that an angel promises an old barren priest, Zechariah, that his old barren wife, Elizabeth, will have a son named John who will prepare the way for the Lord. As improbable as that sounds, as impossible as that conception would be without the work of God, yet Elizabeth and Zechariah do conceive a child. Imagine that old childless couple at the senior center, suddenly expecting a baby. And then Luke tells us that in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, an angel appears to the young unwed Mary, telling Mary that she will conceive a son solely by the work of God, and that this divinely conceived child will be the long-awaited Messiah, the hope of the nations, the one for whom all of Israel has waited, the one for whom Mary herself has prayed. And while he's still there, that same angel, like a gossip at the grocery store, offers this proof to Mary when he says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." And then Luke tells us this. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've read this story scores of times before, but this year, reading it again, what really stood out to me was how quickly Mary left to go visit Elizabeth. I don't know why I missed that before. It's right there in black and white. As soon as the angel leaves, the scripture said that Mary got ready and hurried to go to Elizabeth. Mary accepts this heavenly announcement, accepts God's plan for her life, and then the next thing we're told is that she's packing it off to Elizabeth's. We don't know if before Mary left, she told her closest girlfriends in the youth group about her predicament. We don't know if Mary told her parents that she was expecting. And it doesn't seem that Mary said anything to Joseph at this time about what was going on. What the story says is that Mary got ready and hurried to visit Elizabeth. Tradition tells us that Elizabeth lived in Ein Kerem. That's about 80 miles from Nazareth, sort of on the way toward Bethlehem or Jerusalem. 80 miles is about a 9-day journey if you're going by foot, I'm told. Having never been on a 9-day walk, I wouldn't know. Over Thanksgiving, we traveled by car for about 9 hours, and it about did me in. But there weren't cars back then, and likely Mary did walk. 9 days. She was young. She was strong. She would make it. Besides, the angel had said that the Lord was with her. But I imagine that Mary was also worried and scared. She knew the law, just as Joseph did. She knew that her pregnancy would be questioned rather than celebrated. She knew that she could be stoned to death for saying yes to God. Sometimes we're afraid to invite a friend to church because they might say no. And yet this teenager said yes to God about something that could get her killed, about something that was surely whispered about for the rest of her life. And Mary had 9 long days with not much to do but think. What a torturous trip. Waiting and worrying are the most unpleasant ways I have found to spend time, and I know lots of unpleasant ways to spend time. So I suspect that this anxious journey Mary made here at the beginning of her pregnancy was actually much harder than the similar journey she would make in a few months when she is great with child, because worry and anxiety make everything harder. I know that a worried and anxious Mary is not usually what we think of when we picture her. This is not the image of Mary that we see in the great artworks. In those, Mary is depicted as the model of calm and poise. There's a regal element to her in those images. And I agree with those artists. I do believe that Mary became that calm, knowing, poised, and mature woman of faith. But first, I believe that she was just a scared and worried teenager, as anxious about telling her parents and her fiancé about her pregnancy as any of us would be or have been. She was, after all, just a woman, just a girl, really. And I think that's why Mary went to see Elizabeth, her older, childless relative. I think Mary had made that trip many times before, maybe going to spend the weekend with Zechariah and Elizabeth, maybe going to spend several weeks in the summer. No one seemed surprised by Mary's decision to go. No one seemed to have stopped her or questioned her. At least, none of that's recorded. My great Aunt Clara was an older, childless relative. She was as much a part of our family and my life as anyone else was. She cared for us, doted for us, spoiled us, and did many things for us that she would never do for the children she never had. We had a special relationship with Clara. We spent long stretches of time with her, and even as a young child, my going to Aunt Clara's house, quite on my own, was something I often did. I think that's the kind of relationship Mary had with Elizabeth and Zechariah. And now, these special relatives, this couple who has always treated Mary like the great gift from God that she was, now they are also expecting a child in an impossible way. So it makes sense to me that Mary would go there first, maybe to the safest place she has ever known. I'm sure that Mary spent a good part of her 9-day journey rehearsing how she was going to tell Elizabeth of her pregnancy. I'm sure Mary had a plan. I'm sure Mary wanted to get the telling over with so that she could finally see if Zechariah and Elizabeth would still love her, if they would still care for her, if they would even believe her. Picture it. You're maybe 13 or 14. You're pregnant, yet still innocent. Who believes that? You know your life is about to change. And it is completely possible that everyone you know and love will turn their backs on you. And you've had 9 days to worry about this. And after that long trip, before you can even get past the hellos with this beloved older relative, Elizabeth herself bursts into song, already knowing the story you have to tell, already accepting it and accepting you, already acknowledging the great, mighty, and marvelous work that God has begun in your life. Blessed are you among women, she says, and blessed is the child you will bear. Mary didn't even have to tell Elizabeth her unbelievable story. No one did. No one else knew. God himself, in his mercy, told Elizabeth, who believed and celebrated the work that God had begun in Mary. And Elizabeth here even shows herself to be a disciple when she says, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Jesus, while yet unborn, is recognized by Elizabeth and the child she carries as Lord of all. Oh, that we could see Jesus so clearly this season. I cannot imagine the relief Mary must have felt. The confirmation she received, it wasn't a dream. This was really going to happen. And perhaps for the first time, Mary dared to believe, dared to imagine that God would use her to bear and raise the Messiah. For at least 9 days, Mary had been carrying this secret, wondering if she would be put to death once it became known. We have this picture, maybe from the movies, that the angel appears to Mary and she just breaks into joyous song. But that's not what the story says. The story says that she left and went to Elizabeth, and it took many, many days before she could ever, ever sing. In 3 short sentences, Elizabeth dares to believe the impossible and praises Mary for doing the same. That's what Mary experienced, but I doubt that it was what she expected. It was certainly far better. Today, pregnant women all across the country read books like What to Expect When You're Expecting. They gather in offices and living rooms and coffee shops to share their pregnancy stories, as I'm sure Elizabeth and Mary did later. But no book, no story from someone else can prepare you for how marvelous a new life is. And no book, no story from someone else can prepare you for God's work in your life until you accept it and see it and experience it yourself. And once that happens, then we also sing. Joy wells up in our hearts. We praise God for his goodness, and we praise God who embodies goodness to all. That's what Mary does next. That's what Mary does finally, now, all these days later. She sings a song, a psalm, a poem, a prayer, whatever you want to call it. We know it as the Magnificat. And Aaron will sing it for us today. The words that Mary sang when finally her faith was confirmed by Elizabeth. Thank you. Mary sings of the great reversals of God, that God would use the lowly, that those who lift themselves up are brought down, and that those who humble themselves are lifted up. Jesus will teach these same things, that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, that the greatest among us is the one who serves, and that the lesser seat is the one we should choose. Mary's song shows God's heart for the underdog, God's special attention and care toward those who have been made to feel like nobodies, toward those just like Mary, the unwed mother, like Elizabeth, the barren woman. These are the ones that God lifts up. This is the character of God proclaimed in the Scriptures, and this is the character of God's perfect Son, Jesus. Every year, during these weeks leading up to Christmas, we here at the church receive a special offering, a gift we make to those in need. This year, the gift goes to support local missions such as food banks and help with rents and utilities and job training. The gifts support our mission work that this summer the youth and others will do, and the gifts will support the United Methodist Children's Home. This year, we've made it easy for you to make a special gift in honor of someone you love, maybe a special elderly relative, or a new young friend, or that hard-to-buy-for person who already has more stuff than she needs. Cards that look like this are placed throughout the church, out in the lobby, and on the back is a place a donation was given by me that will be used to support these missions in honor of you. These cards are a way to let other people know that they have been honored by you and included in God's great work on this earth, where the low are lifted up and the hungry are fed and God's mercy is shown to all. It's almost too good to believe that we could be a part of all that. And yet there it is, in black and white, in Mary's song, that we can be a part of God's plan as surely as Mary was, as surely as Joseph was, as surely as Zechariah and Elizabeth and their son John were. As we serve others, we're included in the work of God's kingdom. For nothing is impossible with God. Thanks be to God. And would you pray? Lord, this week, as your people go out into the world. I pray your blessing upon each person here on their homes. Give them peace. Give them joy. Give them hope. Give them strength. Lord, give your people generous hearts that we may all participate in the beautiful, mighty work you are doing yet today. We go in the name of your Son who loves us and who came to show us how to live. Amen.